0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL and Cammy Bell are in the studio. Scott Allen is still there at Celtic Park. Andrew McLean will be going down to get all the reaction to another blockbuster encounter between Celtic and Rangers. A 3-1 win for Celtic, a win that not only keeps their title hopes alive, but boosts them 1 point behind Hearts with just 2 Premiership games to go. How exciting is this going to be? It's also a result that not only rules Rangers out of any slim title hopes, it consigns them to third. They can't catch up on second place now either. What does that mean for the season? How does it reflect on Danny Rule? And what do Rangers do going forward? As is always the case when these sides meet, a few big talking points as well within there. Should Celtic's equaliser have been ruled out for offside? Was Alistair Johnson lucky to stay on the pitch? All of the above and more, I am absolutely sure. 0141 951 1025. But to kick off, you, it's about what this means going forward.
Yeah, Sunday of consequences. Celtic now in a position where if they win 2 games, they win the title. I put that into the miracle category, given that they've had the Wilfred Nancy episode, they've lost Brendan Rodgers, they've brought in Martin O'Neill twice. Martin O'Neill has been unbelievable for Celtic this season. Without him, this doesn't happen. Absolutely nowhere near to happening without Martin O'Neill. For the other manager, Danny Rule, when the Celtic fans are singing your name, and I couldn't help but hear that when you were talking to Scott Allen, they are having a laugh at you. And Andrew Kavanagh can't have a man who is laughed at. And Andrew Kavanagh has to ask, the investment was huge, £40 million, and Rangers finished third. So Andrew Kavanagh has to ask himself and his other board members, did we do the right thing by appointing Danny Rule after doing the wrong thing by appointing Russell Martin in the first place? Day of heavy consequences for Rangers, a day of potential for Celtic, a potential title is 2 games away.
Let's dive straight in with the calls, because Mark is first through. Mark, as a Rangers fan, sum up how you're feeling after that.
How you doing? All right?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Despair, absolute despair. Naivety is the word I use with a lot of the players. They run around like headless chickens. I watched them fully in Rangers field. I was 6 years old. I'm 64 now. And what would be turning his grave watch if he was watching that? Honest to God, that is just, I don't know where to start with him. I've lost. That's three games in a row now. I've watched them score one goal and trying to hold on to one goal against teams like Celtic. It's absolutely I don't know where we're going to go. Kind of keep changing managers all the time. But again, he's taken on a team for a previous manager. I know they've spent that amount of money, but I just don't know where we're going to go. It's just, naivety is the word I keep seeing. The individuals, they don't seem to play as a team, and you're up against 2 wily old foxes and Derek McInnes and Martin O'Neill, and you've got the young pretender, and he's got a long way to go if that's the case. We need somebody with experience. I know he was at Bayern Munich, and that doesn't matter, but he's in charge of one of the biggest clubs in the world, and we are not performing like that.
What's led to this then? Because obviously a couple of weeks ago, you and your fellow Rangers fans, I'm sure, thought that you had certainly had a good chance of winning the league, and if not, you might even have considered yourselves as favourites to win the league. And yet, as we've said there, it's now arithmetical. It's guaranteed third, trophyless as well. I actually feel like that was been lost in the last couple of weeks. People have stopped mentioning the cups because we're so fixated with the league, which is the most important thing. But guaranteed trophyless, guaranteed third with a couple of games to go. How does that sit with you?
Well, I've seen Rangers win a lot of trophies over the years. I've followed Rangers, as I said, when I was about 6 years old. My father was the president of the supporters club way back in the 60s and 70s, so was my grandfather. And Rangers through and through. And I've seen a lot of bad Rangers sides, but this is going to be the amount of money they've spent, as you said, it's absolutely ridiculous. No team's got a right to win every single game with the players they've got. They've not got a right to win it. But a team of that standing should be putting a bit more fight into their games. I watch the captain, and I watch him, I watch McGregor, and I watch it. The difference is night and day.
Scott Allen, I was going to throw to you, because some really good points made, I think, and points that the Rangers fans will share. Just wanted to lean on your eyewitness experience of having been there. Just how did it end so meekly for this Rangers team today?
I just think second half, Celtic came out with their tails up, moved the ball quicker, seen where they could cause problems for that down that right hand side of Rangers, which is clear to see. I think Hart's done the same thing on Monday, and just kept working the ball there and asking questions. And then in your box, listen, Maeda, he ain't the easiest guy to pick up. There's no good out. He always gets across his man. He gets a fantastic goal to put Celtic ahead. But once that goal went in, the heads went down. As I said, Mikey Mueller, only one showing real personality to go and get the ball and try and go by a guy. Out with that, it all fell to pieces. And it looked like a team of strangers at times, especially in that second half. Considering there were some really good parts, they were well in the game in the first half. But it's nothing that we haven't seen all season regarding Rangers. Can't put 90-minute performances together. And three defeats in a row at the time where you're having to produce your best football, or at least football that allows you to go and win games, it just hasn't been good enough. And you can look at selection, you can look at shape, all that sort of stuff. But I think the big concern for me is the amount of money spent and the lack of quality that goes with it.
Rangers had lost two games prior to the split. Mm. Two games in 33. Now comes the split, they've lost all three since the split began. So that's what piles the pressure on the shoulders of Danny Rowe. And the second half collapse has become a Danny Rowe characteristic. They were two up on Celtic at Ibrox, drew 2-2. You know, they were one up on Hearts at Tynecastle, lost 2-1. Against Motherwell, the second half collapse came right at the very end because they'd gone from 2-0 to 2-2, 20 minutes left to play. You're waiting for the third goal from Rangers, and it's Motherwell who score.
I mean, Mark, this is the first time in nearly 26 years that Rangers have lost three consecutive league games. Now, there have been some ropey versions of Rangers teams in the last few years because of where the club found itself and so on, stuff you don't need me to recap at the moment. So, but for this to have that record sort of broken, if that's the right phrase today, 26 years since you lost three league games in a row.
We won the league during COVID. Remember that? Mm-hmm. We won it during COVID. Empty stadiums. It's almost like these players. Sometimes I think to myself, are these players scared? They come into a stadium like Celtic Park, fantastic venue, got a lot of Celtic pals. And they'll be laughing, they'll be enjoying themselves. Now. But I watched that the day, and I just thought to myself, I mean, I took a bet, 4-1, there you go. And it wasn't even against my own team. 4-1, Celtic. I wasn't far away. But I just think to myself, previous managers like Walter Smith and previous managers before him, they just knew how to get results out of, get the best out of players. So they did. All right, they have different money in these days. But they've, as you said, they've spent about 40 odd million quid. But still no enough further forward. I'm looking forward to the summer holidays and see what happens.
There has to be some kind of review, you know, to finish third, to be confirmed as third in the Premiership. Having spent £40 million, having replaced a manager in the beginning of the season, Andrew Kavanagh has to conduct some kind of review. The buys have not been good enough. Is the manager good enough? That has to be the question for Andrew Kavanagh going forward.
I'm sure we'll get to his position very soon. See, this notion as well, Cammy, about it being a, you know, not being able to play for a full game, maybe a sort of a good half and a bad half. Mm-hmm. See if that is the case for Rangers where they can't do it for 90 minutes. See the so-called good half. Does it actually need to be better? You know, go and get yourself 2-0 up then. Although, you know, I know that's not always a guarantee either. But go and get yourself 2 up. Go and score again. Go and really, because I think what's been this, it feels in the last couple of games, what gets described as a good half for Rangers actually isn't that good to begin with.
No, and I think that's a measure of where Rangers are at the moment, though. Again, we're describing them as a good half, but you look at teams in the years gone by, they would dominate games, they would have very good spells. Again, when I was playing with Kilmarnock years ago, you'd be 3-0 down, they would have a good half, and they would maybe have 30 minutes where they'd take their foot off the pedal. This Rangers team can't do that because they're not good enough. They can't get far enough ahead for a start, and they're very vulnerable. When they've had a good half, They still feel really, really vulnerable as a team at all points. I don't think they have complete control of any games. You probably look at every single game this season. Rangers haven't played for 90 minutes. They've been really poor in games. Again today, they have a decent first half. I wouldn't say it was outstanding. I think they were in the game. They've done okay. In the second half, again, as soon as they lose goals, Mark mentioned it, the heads go down. You stop believing. And that's not a Rangers team for me. You need to go to Celtic Park. If you concede a goal, you need to go there and stand up and be counted for and react to that. And Rangers team, this Rangers team can't do that.
I don't think they're good enough, to be quite honest with you. You can sum it up any way you want. There's two games, two massive games for them. Hearts, Derek McInnes meets one tweak, half-time, Rangers fall to pieces, can't handle it. Celtic made one simple change at half-time because, as Scott Allen says there, he was watching it from Celtic Park, you see the bigger picture. Down that Tavernier side, Tonetti come on, took Luke McCown off, all of a sudden, more direct, turns Tavernier inside out. Tavernier gets caught for the ball over the top of Tierney as well. And I'm not just blaming everything at Tavernier, because that's what happens with Rangers supporters who just go for the captain. I think overall, as a group and as a team, they ain't good enough to go and win a league. I've never thought they were. But the manager has to take a big responsibility.
Thank you, Mark. What about Frank? What do you take away from today, Frank?
Just normal. Normal for Rangers. No good enough. These are the statistics. We're out of the two cups. We're third in the league. We've won approximately half our league games. In the three post-split games, we've been beaten in the three of them. Hearts have scored two. Celtic scored three. Motherwell scored, I think it was two or three against us at Ibrox. The guy's no good enough for Rangers. It's as simple as that.
So it is on the manager for you. You think this... You know, this. We need a serious discussion about what happens in the dugout going forward.
I've been on before, months ago. I doubted the guy's mentality to get a team together. There's no structure in that team. There's no promise in that team. The best thing the chairman can do is to sack the manager, sell Raskin, whose time is up at Ibrox, sell Shermite, sell Fernandes and start again with a new manager.
Scott Allen, you do the today bit for us, and the guys in here do the big picture. Then what does today do for Danny Rule, or the stuff that went wrong today, I should say? Sorry, how much is that on him?
First and foremost, personnel for me. I think we can all probably agree on that. We're surprised that James Tavernier started today, knowing that Celtic would obviously target that area of the park. I think you look at Monday night, didn't defend well, didn't come out with covered in glory if I would defended that. And then as soon as questions asked, same again. So I think first and foremost, personnel. Raskin's out injured, so Barron has to come in. And listen, he works hard and he gets about, but long term I don't think he has the answer in the midfield for Rangers. For me, out with that, Mikey Muir and Chirmiti have pass marks for me. Romans at times looks to get forward, but they don't. Nothing's really deliberate in how they play. It's when Celtic did obviously take the lead, Rangers started pumping it long and it became second ball. Celtic scooped everything up and just worked the ball and were patient with it, and then they then go and get a third, and Rangers just were bereft of any idea or imagination out with that, or out with Mikey Muir taking the ball in a half turn and amongst the bodies trying to go and create for Rangers. Out with that, nobody stood up to the fore and wanted to be a guy to take responsibility and go and create and go and show a bit of personality. So, a lot of it is on Danny Rowe, and he doesn't change it. Gassama comes on, and that's where we're at. We spoke about it at the top of the show, didn't we? With Scott Olsen, Gassama, Ant-Man, not good enough, and money has been spent, so it does have to... I take into account tactical stuff. He was tactically outdone the first game against Motherwell, second half, and then they get back in the game. They don't manage the game. Hearts, they were okay in the first half. Second half, tactically outthought again from Derek McInnes, can't get back in the game, lose the game. Today, personnel would have been the question on everybody's lips at the start of the game. Second half came out and doesn't have the answers. So a lot of, there will be pressure on Danny Rowe, and I think the questions are allowed to be asked.
Such as the analysis saturation of everything in Glasgow and shows like this obviously add to it. There's not an angle you've not heard here. Yeah. You know the counterpoint to the Danny Rowe must go is, he got a tune out of them to begin with.
Yep.
Can't keep sacking managers. No. Give them a pre-season. That's the the counter arguments are all built on that.
Yeah.
Do they carry enough weight for you?
At the moment, I'm struggling to defend him. He's starting to do his job in a bewildering fashion. Scott Olsen at Tynecastle was bewildering. Ant-Man today at Celtic Park, bewildering. I do understand the argument, but you can't go on sacking managers. Well, since Steven Gerrard left, having won a league, Rangers have had Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, they've had Philippe Clement, they've had Michael Beale, Russell Martin, and now Danny Rowe. Five managers in the last 5 years. So Rangers do keep on sacking managers.
Is that even more reason to stop?
Well,
because that's when you get rinse and repeat territory.
Andrew Kavanagh hasn't been involved long enough to understand the way the parallel universe works. But when the Celtic fans en masse are saying the Rangers manager's name, it's because they think Rangers have got a poor manager and they would rather he stayed. But the Rangers fans think he's a poor manager because of the bewildering decisions that he
made.
I don't like jumping on. No, but hold on, I was going to say on that, right? I don't like Hugh's madcap theories that supporting them makes me feel dirty, right? You're not going to sack the manager because the Celtic fans are singing. However, there is, in this mad world, just something symbolic about once it gets to that stage.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just seems like there's something in the air when that happens. Of course, Andrew Kavanagh's not going to say, Danny, I'm sorry, Celtic fans sang your name, so you must go. I don't think even Hugh's suggesting that, but there is something just, once the question mark gets so big, that's when that sort of stuff starts to happen.
I think he's in a bad place. I think he needed a result today. I think he needed that chance to finish second. They would have probably saved him, got him over the line, and then give him the transfer window in the summer and kick on from there. I don't buy, and I've said this for weeks now, I don't buy this Rangers fan saying, well, we were so many points behind Hearts when he came in after Russell Martin. They were top of the league.
But that's actually gone anyway, right, as an argument because of the points deficit.
Yeah.
You know, it's nearly back at what it was, and you've had all that time to make up for
it. He's come into three massive, massive games. We all agreed, and I think we all agreed, that he came out the transfer window the strongest, right? Because everybody was thinking, oh, good signings, three, four good signings there. Brilliant, let's kick on from there. Everybody fancied him to go and do it. There's no structure. There's nothing. Every time somebody tweaks something against his team, and I'm not just holding the blame at his door, I think his players aren't good enough, right? That you can go and sit here and take everything into accountability. See if you've not got players that are good enough. It doesn't matter what you do.
Sure, okay, but just on that, could you love this one?
Yeah. Right.
Is the Rangers squad worse than Hearts squad?
As in,
ability-wise, the quality of the players.
Well, I'll tell you,
because you're saying the squad's not good enough, and I would take
the Hearts squad over a Rangers squad.
Seriously?
Yes, I would. Yes.
All of it?
Yes. No, all of it. I think there's a Mikey Moore.
I think you're underestimating the job of a manager. I think you just need to look at Celtic. Again, you look at Celtic squad. I don't think it's a strong squad.
Hearts have got the best two strikers in the league.
What I'm saying is, out of 11.
Right, their centre half has been absolutely magnificent.
On paper, the Rangers team must stack up against the Hearts team.
But tell me, right? You're have a look at Rangers today, right? Diamandé, would you take Diamandé? Tavernier's getting hounded out of Rangers. You've got Chermito. I thought
you don't think Tavernier would get a game for Hearts
now. I think Derek would probably stick with what he's got.
Don't really have a right back, to be fair. They just keep
I think Hearts as a squad, as players, and the way they play are better than what Rangers
have
got.
But do you think a good manager for Rangers could get better results than Danny Rule's getting with the squad that's there?
I still think
with a system that suits the players to get results.
I still think you'd have your weaknesses.
Martin O'Neill's done. That's
I know you're
Martin
going
O'Neill's
to
done.
Go to Martin O'Neill. I still think you would have your weaknesses.
Yes, you would.
I think Rangers are very individual. I think there's one or two players there, like the Mikey Moores of this world, I think are very, very good players, and I think our boys got a bit of terrific talent.
Well, don't know.
But they're average Joes that are playing with Rangers.
There might be some, but Chermiti's shown what he's capable of. Nicholas Raskin, as everybody always bangs on about, is a Belgian international. Everybody keeps saying you're going to get a lot of money.
Nicholas Raskin has done nothing in months.
You're going to get a lot of money for Emmanuel Fernandes. I think everybody agrees. Romans looks decent. That it's not a dreadful squad, is it?
I think you can get a lot more out of that squad for me.
And I'm just talking about on paper. Listen, you can't polish it. They're third. It doesn't matter if you say they're good on paper. But
and once again, without a trophy. Once again, coming out the January window, spent all the money. Once again, everybody's saying how strong they were. Once again, they get to the top of the league. And they can't string 60 minutes together.
Exactly. So people are asking if that's the manager's fault. But you're just shrugging the shoulders and saying, nah, the players aren't good enough.
Right, okay. Does the manager carry the can for the fact that players can't put in a performance for over 60 minutes?
If, as Cammy says, on the other side of the city, the manager's the one that's getting all the credit for the good results.
Yeah.
But the manager, I think the manager's getting the credit because what he's doing, he's organised. But the players in the pitch, it's like Motherwell, right?
So you just say that he's organising it. Martin Neal's organising the team to go and get a result.
The players
Danny
have got
Rule's
to
not.
Go and do it.
I agree with that. Two things can be true at the same time. I think Danny Rule is now behaving in a bewildering fashion, and at the same time, I think he has players who have ability but lack attitude. I think that the way they went about their business in the second half today against Celtic, they were never going to score if they'd been given another 45 minutes. And when Maeda scored the magnificent second goal that he scored, that was it for them. Mentally, they collapsed.
Frank, is there nothing in that stuff that you just can't, you know, you can't keep sacking managers? Why not give them a pre-season? All the stuff that, you know, is offered up, do you not buy any of that at all?
Not at all, because quite simply, beginning next season, it could happen again, and then we're fighting for a league again, we're struggling. The only way to deal with this is to go and get the Motherwell manager, and he doesn't need a lot of money, because he sounds as though, he looks as though he's intelligent enough to get players playing. This guy doesn't know how to motivate players. Walter Smith would be turning in his grave if he'd seen the attitude and the response for these Rangers players. Now, Celtic thoroughly deserve to win the day. Hearts thoroughly deserve to win at Tynecastle. Motherwell thoroughly deserved to win at Ibrox. Failure, failure, failure. It's got to change. Simple as that.
Strong stuff. Thank you very much. Let's bring in William on the other line, see what he thinks. William?
Hello, Gordon, Hugh and Cammy.
Hello, how are you? Well, yeah, daft question, but yeah, tell us why you're so annoyed.
well, for me, right, you listen to the Danny Rose before the game starts, right, he's talking about his team, right. You look at Celtic, right, they've got a player, who's it, Angus Mazzucca, nowhere near the squad, right. He's been doing well in training. Jack McLeanier, where I played him, he's come out and said, Antman, playing well in training. He's not been anywhere near the team for weeks, and he's playing in a big game like that. And Sterling should have been right back today, because Taverner's gave away a goal. He's been a great servant, but I don't like going about. But for me, right, I'm one of these Rangers fans today, knew Celtic were going to win because they wanted it more, because they needed it more, because we were out of the league. The alarm bells were ringing for Rangers when we drew with Livingston, and that was months ago. Then we get 8-4 draws, and now we've had defeats, right? Danny Rowe, to a point, has done his job, right? But I think the Americans are going to pull the plug, and I'm going to tell you the reason why, right? We need a manager who... Celtic getting behind, but an Ilfair played him, right? He's dug him out of a hole. We need a manager where we can get behind. Give him a top-class manager, give him 3 or 4 years... We're done with Gerrard. I don't want to keep sacking managers. I'm not that Rangers man, right? But
well, you won't give the next guy 3 or 4 years then, will you?
Sorry?
You won't give the next guy 3 or 4 years then, will you?
No. We need a top-class manager, Gordon, where we can, with Gerrard, who we gave the 3 years, you know what I mean? And then he left after the next year because he didn't get back to the money, right? We need a manager where we can get behind. And the panel are saying is no motivation. You see Gordon Dale, he's talking a lot of nonsense, right?
Yeah, I know.
Hearts are a better team.
I'm using a voice assistant to your voice to text.
Mm-hmm. What's happened?
The person just cut him off because he's talking a lot of nonsense because Hearts are a better team because they're sitting top
individually. Let's cut to the sum of that, which I thought was interesting, Hugh, because let's rewind to when Danny Rowe was appointed.
Yeah.
Feels like a long time ago, so much has happened since. I never quite know if it is fair to keep going back to this, so stop me if you think it isn't. It wasn't a universally popular appointment
No.
anyway.
No.
And maybe there's a landscape thing here, maybe we as a City can't attract the type of manager we think we can or we used to, and that maybe goes for both clubs. But was he first choice? Was he second choice? Was he third choice? He wasn't that experienced. We had a real split, I think, on the phones when he was appointed.
Yep.
Can this guy do the job? Now, that stuff does... we're simpletons at times. That all goes away if you just win football matches. Yep. But now that we know that he's finished third and won't win any trophies, does that show that it was wrong back then? Or is it not that simple?
It was a messy appointment because Steven Gerrard wouldn't take the job, basically. And Danny Rule had previously asked for his name to be withdrawn from the shortlist and then was given the job. It's now, and I'm trying to be careful here, but it's now assuming Wilfred Nancy proportions because of the sudden nature of defeat, followed by defeat, followed by defeat. If this was in the middle of the season, I think he'd be under pressure, greater pressure than he is now. But there's no doubt that a fortnight ago, Rangers were title contenders, and now look at them. And the fans are outraged by the sudden reversal.
Okay, does the short-term nature of that collapse then leave any room for the possibility that Andrew Kavanagh will be a bit more composed about it and point to that and say, I'm not sacking a manager. See, I'm not ripping all this up because of a three-week collapse.
Fingers are now going to be pointed at Andrew Kavanagh as well, because the Rangers fans are going to say, you appointed Russell Martin, how could you possibly arrive at that decision? And then, in place of Russell Martin, you appointed this man who had previously taken his name off the list. And, as I say, defeats of this nature post-split are causing the Rangers fans immense anxiety. And I think we have to see how Andrew Kavanagh reacts to this, because people will say, not only does Danny Rule not know what he's doing, he doesn't know what he's doing either.
Scott, what do you think? You witnessed the man in action, so to speak, today.
Well, I think we've got to go on history. When questions were asked of Russell Martin and the pressure then came on the 49ers and Andrew Kavanagh, they pulled the trigger and sacked him. I think if the same sort of pressure then comes off the back of how Danny Rowe's Rangers teams performed in this split, then I wouldn't be surprised if they did make a decision come the end of the season that they may be better looking elsewhere. And I'm not one for saying always sacking managers, but I think tactically the last three games, looking at it, and then the personnel, when you're in the heat of the battle, the team just didn't look like they had the guts for it, and that would be the real concern. So history tells us that they did sack Russell Martin, so I don't think you could rule anything out.
It's crazy that this sentence will be uttered in Glasgow, but is there room to say that, I mean, if he'd at least finished second, you know, like that's never been good here, that's never been acceptable. But you see what I said this before game, so I'm not just saying it now. We treat failure as black and white. There are degrees of failure. Yep. Third is worse than second. Yep. Rangers are staring at Conference League qualifiers. How does that fit into your business plan if you're Andrew Kavanagh?
Yeah, listen, I think Dad said it. He needed a result today. He needed a result. He didn't get one. And again, it was so poor. The second half was miles off it. Rangers were second best. They didn't deserve anything from the game. And listen, for me, I know everyone's saying you can't keep sacking managers, but you need to have the right manager in place. You need to believe that guy in place is the one that's going to take you forward to success. For me, at this moment in time, questions have been asked over the last few weeks. Danny Rule got himself in a position to go and win a title. That's when you're judged as a Rangers manager, when all the pressure comes your way, when you need to win big matches. He's not done that.
His wheels fell off at third part.
Yeah.
The warning signs were there.
You going back to that?
Yeah.
Tactical. But they went top after that.
I know, but
I think
the questions started getting asked about him, and then all of a sudden the next one was, he can't put two halves together here, and then the one after that was, oh, managers are making wee tweaks. Derek McInnes made a wee tweak, and okay, I keep going back to it's 11v11, whatever, but tactically, as a manager, you've got to combat that. Today, Martin O'Neill made the easiest thing you've ever seen in your life. He brought on an attacking player, rather than Luke McCown there on the left-hand side, he brought on Tonechty. All of a sudden, he changed the game, and you're looking at that Rangers team thinking, apart from a set play, did you ever think they were going to get back in the game?
Stephen William really took issue with Antman playing. It's one of those ones, you'll know what that looks like before and how big a call it is and how out of left field it is, so it almost just has to work, doesn't it? It needs to, because it's then two games in a row where you've... And yeah, this has to reflect on the players as well, if they're underperforming, but Scove Olsen, it was the same story on a Monday night.
To compare and contrast Martin O'Neill with Danny Rule, Martin O'Neill had six players come to Celtic in the January transfer window. None of them had anything to do with today's game.
Mm.
Martin O'Neill takes a look at players that he might not necessarily have had anything to do with arriving at Celtic and thinks, if it's Mvuka, Adamu, Shvanchara, whoever, no, not for me. And they are simply sent out to Siberia.
William, we lost you, but we've got you back. Do you want to give us your parting thoughts?
Yes, I would. Not very good, no. I think your arguments. I'm going to give you a big up. Same other way, right? There, Gordon's. I'm trying to get through to Gordon's point. Gordon's point is, Motherwell are playing better than the Rangers as a team, right? They definitely are, but they've not got a better squad. That's how I think we need to go in a different direction as a manager.
Yeah,
but see if a new manager walks in there, mm-hmm. right, a better squad. Scott Allen, I was listening to Scott Allen talking there for Celtic Park, and he turned and says, I'd keep five, right?
Yeah.
So, as a new manager walking in there, is this mm-hmm. better squad, this great squad? I think a new manager would rip that right up.
They may well do, but
do you know what I mean?
But at the core, yeah. To be fair to William, I think it's a fair point, and Jens Bertolaski has become a really annoying comparison for people. But if a manager's job, any level of any football team, is to get the most out of the group that he's got, mm-hmm.
so yeah.
is he doing that?
Who?
Danny Rule. Is he getting the most out of them players?
No, so that group of players is capable of better then?
Well, I think there's some of them capable of better.
No, that group, we're talking about another group.
But you can't just say every single one of them.
I'm not talking, we said group,
because
I'm not going individually. Is that group of players capable of better than what they're offering?
The team better and capable?
Yeah.
Over 90 minutes, probably no. I don't think they're capable.
You think that's the Rangers team's level?
Well, it's shown.
Danny Rule needs to stay then.
It's shown
if he can't do any more.
No, I think Danny Rule, I think it's the wrong players, Gordon.
That's what I'm saying, so it's not his fault, so he'll stay.
I think he thingied everything in the transfer window in January, did he not? He brought the players in. They're not good enough.
I'm just trying to understand. So you think the players are absolutely fine? The management's fine.
I think it's a mixture of both. I don't think the manager's tactically aware of what's happening in the game at times when teams mm-hmm. go up against them, right? And secondly, I don't think the players that he's bringing in is improving fine. Rangers going forward.
I think an experienced manager can get results with them players. I honestly do. I think an experienced manager will approach the game differently with them, mm-hmm. them Rangers players, and can get results with them players. I'm not saying them Rangers players in the squad at this moment in time are the answer going forward, mm-hmm. because I think they can bring in better quality players long term, but I genuinely think an experienced manager would get more. So for the avoidance of doubt,
I just want to know exactly where we sit. You don't think a different manager could get more out of this group of Rangers players?
I don't think a different manager will win the league with that squad.
It's not asked. Could they get more out?
No,
because they're third. The next step would be second. I'm trying not to be too...
I don't think they finished second.
I'm trying not to be too patronising, but just, right. If you could answer it, you don't think a different Rangers manager could get more out of this group?
No, I don't.
Wow. 0141 951 1025. We'll take more of your calls when you return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans, Gordon Dalziel, Cammy Bell are here. Scott Allen still at Celtic Park as well. We'll keep him for a bit longer, will we? No, let him go just yet. Make him stay. Make him earn his keep. We're waiting for your calls. We're still here for over another hour. So 0141 951 1025. The post-match reaction from the managers will start to come in as well. Andrew McLean will be away there finding out what their stance on it is. One thing's for sure, they'll be feeling very different from each other at the moment, Hugh.
Without doubt. I am finding it hard to put into words what it would be like if Martin O'Neill won this title. This has been a chaotic, occasionally shambolic season for Celtic. There is nothing that can take away from the job that Martin O'Neill has done on two separate occasions. I spoke to David Hay, the manager who gave Celtic the last unbelievable title win in Paisley in 1986. I spoke to him for a piece for the paper this morning, and he said, with regard to Martin O'Neill, he may be 74 years old. He may not have managed anyone for 6 years prior to replacing Brendan Rodgers, but knowledge is eternal. That was the phrase he used. And Martin O'Neill is showing what we've been arguing about here, about what effect the managers have on teams. Martin O'Neill's knowledge and the effect it's having on the Celtic team is incalculable.
It's a long-standing tradition in Scottish football, maybe even further, that the losing team gets most of the analysis after, because you're looking at where it goes wrong. We've done quite a lot of that already, and I'm sure we will continue to. But let's look at Celtic's picture as it sits tonight. Chris, is it an optimistic title-winning picture for you now?
Yeah, I thought today, I thought everyone in green and white today was brilliant. I mean, I've obviously been a big, as you guys know, I've been a big criticised of Liam Scales. I thought he was brilliant. I thought the midfield was brilliant. I thought Dyson Maeda, I've been wondering where he's been all season. I mean, today was absolutely fantastic, and of course his overhead kick just summed it up. But I think it's now a case of go to Firth Park on Wednesday, deal with Motherwell, and then as long as you take it to the last day in your own hands, I've still got the belief that we can win this title.
We all know how big it was today. Still work to be done. Yeah. Deal with Motherwell, says Chris. We'll wait and see you on Wednesday. But it's a much better picture than people thought it would be.
When you say, if Celtic win the next two games, they win the title, stop and have a think about that. You know, this is the team who were laughed at, ridiculed in the earlier part of the season. A club at war with itself. All the sack the board business. Martin O'Neill has unified the club and got the team playing. And what he's done for Dyson Maeda, I do not know. But I'll invite your comments, Chris. Was that goal from Dyson Maeda the equal of Henrik Larsson's goal that everyone talks about?
Oh, that's huge. What a question. Chris?
Right. That Dyson Maeda overhead kick, in my personal opinion, is better than Yusuf Tchermiti's against Celtic. It's better than Larsson's chip. And I'll probably get shouted off my daughter here, but it's better than Scott McTominay's against them.
Nah, you took that too far. You took it too far, Chris. It was a interesting. I don't know, how would you compare them? Have we two good overhead kicks in old Firm games in the one season?
Yeah, just incredible.
Yeah,
would you pick one?
The Larsson goal is iconic.
That's not up. We can bin that. No, but that
Martin O'Neill's first game, remember, first old Firm game as Celtic manager, that was Henrik Larsson's goal, and now in his what maybe his last old Firm game, he's found the equal of it from Dyson Maeda.
Listen, the significance of Dyson Maeda's overhead kick today was massive, because it gave them that little bit of a cushion. Listen, they didn't need it in the end, but as a player on the pitch, you know the tension, you know the pressure that's on the line in that game to get that third goal and make sure you've got a little bit of a lead and just breed confidence within the team. I think it was massive today for them. It was huge.
Do you not think it's because he didn't know what he was doing? Because every time he went through on the goalkeeper, you're thinking he ain't going to hit the target, and then all of a sudden he's back to goals, and you're thinking, right, that's fine, he ain't going anywhere. Next minute, it was fantastic.
He's found form at the right time. We weren't saying that. Was it in the first half, that chance?
Yeah, it was.
When he goes through it, I mean, that was like 3 yards wide. But that's him. That sums up his Celtic career.
See,
doesn't
to be honest with you, right, Celtic fans will be gloating over that goal, rightly so. I thought his first goal was brilliant, right? Because as a striker watching, you're looking at the centre half, he's looking at the ball. Maeda's only looking at the timing of the cross coming in, and he gets in there. I think that as a striker, looking at that as a striker, that's a brilliant goal.
Scott, how did it look from the stands?
It was incredible. I actually felt like the ball was in there for a long, long time, and you just seen it nestle in that far corner, and the place erupted. But it's an instinctive one, as it sets up for himself. How can I get a shot on target? But incredible finish. It'll be one of the goals I think will be remembered around Celtic Park if they were to win the title, but there's no getting away from it. You always see the fantastic goals when the sun's shining. It was. And I agree with Daz. I think the one before that as well. It's so good for my striker, just the movement in the box. He's always alive. And the ones he does go through one and one, I don't think he ever looks really confident. It's the ones where he's not getting much time to think about. He needs to show up a intuition. But there's no getting away from it. He was the hero of the day for Celtic.
Who would have thought that Glasgow would be the overhead kick capital of the footballing world? Because that's kind of what it is. Hamden, Celtic Park.
Sums up this amazing
where was
season.
Chermiti's? I don't know why I've had a mind blank. That was Ibrox, wasn't it? There you go. This is the city of the overhead kick.
Yeah. The only problem with Chermiti's was it didn't win the match. But Dyson Maeda, I think, brought Celtic Park to a new level of enthusiasm, excitement, adoration, call it what you will. The Celtic fans, I think, cannot believe this afternoon what's going on, because they have been in a state of anguish all season. The calls that we have taken here, the incredible goings on, the AGM that couldn't even finish because it was disrupted by bad behaviour. They've had an unbelievable season, and I genuinely mean it. If Martin O'Neill wins this title, there will be a statue of Martin O'Neill outside Celtic Park.
I think today wins him. I said it at the beginning of from yesterday.
Think they'll beat Motherwell and then beat Hearts?
Yeah, I do. I just think the writing's on the wall. I said before I left here, I didn't fancy Hearts to go down the M8 back home with all 3 points last night, and it 1-1. And it was massive for Celtic today. And I know that Fir Park will be difficult. We all know that. We know the style of football Motherwell play. And if they take that to a last game, I just think it's done.
Chris, how confident are you? I mean, I don't know. Out of 10, what's Celtic's title prospects looking for you?
About an 8 or a 9 now. I mean, obviously, if you'd asked me the same question back in, you know, December, it would have been 1. But, you know, now, obviously, I think Martin's done a terrific job. And all we've now got to do, as I say, is go to Fir Park, get a result, win that, beat Hearts, you win a title. You know what I mean? It's great that we know what we need to do. Just go, even if it's 1-0. I really don't care if it's scrappy 1-0. I'll take that as long as we get the title at the end of the day.
What percentage chance would you give Celtic now?
Go up to 1.
About 75.
Oh, what an improvement that is. Thank you to Chris. What about Derek in Sandy Hills? Hi, Derek.
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, Derek. Where are you? I'm disappointed with myself because I asked the caller out of 10 and then asked for a percentage from Hugh. So you can use whatever measurement you want. How confident are you Celtic win the league from here?
Oh, very. I always have been very confident.
Seriously? All along?
Everyone's talking about how great it will be for Scottish football if Hearts win the league. But the flip side of that is, if they don't win it, then they've pretty much let us take on a manager who was our worst in history, make an absolute disaster of a dozen games, and we've still come back and won it.
There will be a bit of that, but at the same time, let's not be too romantic about this. You still start with a multi-million pound advantage over Hearts. So yeah. I don't know, let's not go too far on the criticism of Hearts. I think that's a wee bit unfair, no?
Yeah,
By the way, they might still win it.
The only thing is that this season, and we've gone on about how unique, how invigorating, how exciting this season has been. I would dearly love to have a winner-takes-all final game at Celtic Park. I think the interest in that game would be through the roof.
For Scottish football, that would be unbelievable. Listen, we can't write Hearts off. Hearts are still in a really good position. Yeah. Celtic have put themselves in a brilliant position with the result today. I think a lot of the Celtic fans are right in what they're saying with regards to it's in their hands now. If they go and beat Motherwell and then beat Hearts, it's exactly what they wanted. They've done part of the job, but there's still a big job to do. There's still a huge job for Celtic to do. They've got to beat Motherwell and then obviously go and beat Hearts. So I would love it if it's a blockbuster finish and we've got a winner-takes-all game next weekend. That would just, for Scottish football and the interest, would just be phenomenal.
Kind of going round them all here, Scott. Where's your certainty, if that's the right word, or your thoughts on Celtic? Gordon Dale thinks that's it, thinks today won them it. Would you go that far?
No, I think I'll reserve judgment till during the week. I think.
Are you going to wait to full time on the last day?
No, I'm going to wait till
one game
night.
To go. Right, okay.
Yeah, one game to go, and then I'll go. I fancy Hearts to do the job at Tynecastle against Falkirk, and I just think Motherwell, out all the teams in the league, they are capable of throwing something up and producing something with James Bertel Askew. So I still think that's a difficult game. I really do. I'm just watching Maeda, by the way.
What's he doing, running up down the stand or something?
He's got his kid pressing, who's about 4-year-old. Incredible stuff. I just want to ask you if you've seen the Alistair Johnson tackle.
Oh, don't you worry. We're getting our left. I'm absolutely certain we're going to argue about refereeing decisions.
Scott,
you three, what do you think?
Scott, I said at the time, it was reminiscent of the tackle on Alistair Johnson at Easter Road exactly a week ago, and I think Alistair Johnson got away with one today.
The answer isn't simple, because it never is. The question's quite simple. did that have the excessive force required for a red card?
Well, obviously they didn't think so.
What did you think?
We all missed it. I'm with Hugh in this. I think he's very, very lucky because he's high.
What do you think, Cammy? Because the height thing is like obviously an indicator, yep. But also refs everywhere would tell you, you can't get in a scenario where every high contact ends in red. So it's more about the force of it. And by the way, that's not me saying it doesn't have the force. I'm asking your opinion. I'm trying to get the framework down for it.
Yeah, no, listen, I think he's very lucky when you look at it. Probably maybe a factor that the referees have looked at, that he's actually made contact with the ball, which has nothing to do with it, but also kind of rides his foot up a little bit. And is the force sort of lessened because he makes contact with that ball and it's not just a direct force into the foot? So again, possibly that's what they've looked at.
Right, so 0141 951 1025. We'll take more of your calls when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Dale are in the studio. Scott Allen still at Celtic Park. We'll need to let him go soon, I would suspect. But we'll keep him for now in the aftermath of Celtic 3, Rangers 1. In a game that very much boosts Celtic's title aspirations and not only kills off Rangers' title hopes, but means they are destined to finish third as well. So we're poring over it. We've been talking about the... what it means for Danny Rule, what he got wrong today and so on. And on the flip side, Martin O'Neill, is he the one that inspires Celtic at the moment? We'll hear from both of these managers pretty soon as well. Andrew McLean has been speaking to them. And what a week we've got in store.
It's been building up and building up, but we never actually thought we would be two games away from the possibility of the championship final at Celtic Park, Celtic versus Hearts. If Celtic can do their job against Motherwell at Fir Park, you have to think that the manner of today's win for Celtic sends them to North Lanarkshire in an incredibly optimistic but not overconfident state. But I think the Dyson made a goal has lifted everything for Celtic.
The good thing is we knew this already, to be fair, not after today, but it's guaranteed that still can be done on the last day. Either way, that's going to be a showdown one way or the other.
Yeah, for a neutral, and I agree with the boys, I think we'd all be dying to sit here next Saturday and see that happening at Celtic Park against Hearts, obviously. I've got a funny feeling it could, because I fancy Hearts to beat Falkirk at home. But I do think that Celtic going along, and I'm going to go to the game on Wednesday night, I'm looking forward to it. I think that Celtic, because of the situation, it will be difficult against a good Motherwell side. I just think Celtic will have the bit between their teeth and win that.
That's what I'm saying, Cammy. Even if, you know, Celtic win and Hearts even were to lose midweek, yeah, Hearts could still beat Celtic on the final day and win the league. So yeah, it's guaranteed that, you know, it's not...
Yeah, Celtic need to get a result, obviously, up Motherwell if Hearts were to win. Am I right in saying that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Celtic need a result up Motherwell on
Wednesday. Sorry, of course. Yeah. I was looking at it more from Hearts' perspective.
Yeah, no, but listen, you would expect, after today, Celtic are very confident going into that game up Motherwell. It will be very, very difficult. We know how good they are. They'll be organised. They'll want to finish the season on a high. Of course they will. But you just, what's riding on it for Celtic? You've got to believe that they would go there and get some sort of result. They'll be looking for all 3 points. Of course they will.
Last time Rangers were at Celtic Park, they won 3-1. Today's scoreline in reverse. See, the Celtic fans were protesting outside the ground, and a matter of hours later they sacked Wilfred Nancy. Now look, and there can only be one person responsible for that, that's Martin O'Neill.
See, just quickly though, ahead of Wednesday, we'll preview the game as the week goes on. I wonder if we're leaning too much into the notion of, like, just because the incentive's there, because everything that Celtic go to for Park with, Hearts went with last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Hearts had just come off the back of beating Rangers.
Yeah.
And before that, it was an Edinburgh derby, driving seat for the league. Celtic might win the game, I don't doubt that, but this notion that just kind of, you know, just because it's there for them means that they win the football match. Because Hearts had all that last night.
Yeah, and the last time Celtic played at Fir Park, they were embarrassed. They were outplayed, outfought, outthought, out everything by Motherwell and Jens Bertel Asker. It was an embarrassment for them. But I keep on repeating, look at it now.
Dougie's on the line. Hi, Dougie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, very well, Gordon. Thanks for asking. What a season, eh?
Unbelievable. What are you thinking?
Unbelievable. So, yeah, I'm kind of a torn here. As I used to play for Mullow, and I'm really desperate for Celtic to get a result on Wednesday, being a big Celtic man now.
No, hold on, can I guess here? Hold on, no, don't, I'll guess. Did you play centre forward?
I did.
No way.
Were you quite small?
Yeah, in what department are we talking about?
Yeah, I know what department. Is your second name Arnott?
It is.
Oh, I'm starstruck.
What a player this boy was, by the way. How are you, sir?
Brilliant. Honestly, I'm speechless. We're famous in my circles.
Do you remember?
That would be, so well, if you take my age, that would be like the first Motherwell player I was like aware of. Like, so probably too young to really see in your pomp, sorry guy. Doogie. But that would be the first name I could have ever like told back. So there you go. Yeah. What do you mean you're torn, Doogie, anyway? Where's your loyalty?
Well, I'm a big Celtic man.
They won or we freed you.
Part two, and I really don't know what I want to say. It's unbelievable how Martin O'Neill has brought that team back into this, and there they are. And watching that today, I was like emotional, but then I'm thinking to myself, going to Fir Park when I used to play, and I scored 12 goals against Celtic and 12 goals against Rangers, so I get it from both of them.
Can you argue with that record?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that the boys can do it on Wednesday, but it'll be a great game. Great season, and the phone ends have been fabulous this year as well, boys.
It's been a bit lively. What would you put this kind of down to then? Everybody just seems, the obvious is Martin O'Neill. Has that been the difference maker for Celtic to get them back to where they are?
Gordon, I think that's the only difference, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. The only man that could have turned that around is Martin O'Neill. The way he's done that is unbelievable, you know, with the resources that he's had, and when we see Monty coming in, it's just incredible what he's done, and he's an actual saint, the man. It's unbelievable.
Doogie, take your mind back to Helicopter Sunday. It was the blackest day in Martin O'Neill's professional career, and Martin O'Neill for the last 21 years has probably been thinking, I would love to go back there, and he's got the chance on Wednesday night to go back to Fir Park and put a down payment on the title. How emotional will you be then?
I know. This is what I mean by torn, Hugh. This is what I mean by torn. It's one of those things. Even back then, I was slightly torn, but obviously I was gutted for the boys, being a Celtic man myself. I'm hoping Martin O'Neill can rectify that, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. And Muddle have been absolutely incredible this year. They've probably played the best football that any team has played in the whole league, especially the Rangers game last week. I mean, I was watching that, cheering my heart out, watching the boys score their goals. It was just phenomenal. So, yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving the way that the way Scottish football is progressing now, and Hart's been there, and everybody seems to be contributing to it, and it's good to see. But I hope the Celtic do it, I really do.
But listen to that, a man who scored 24 goals against Celtic and Rangers across his career. Well, listen, just taking the time to pick up the phone.
Scott McDonald scored 2 goals for Motherwell to cost Celtic the title, and was a Celtic player the following season.
Doogie Arnott, thank you very much for giving us a call. This show just throws up random surprises. Well,
the minute I seen his name in Curlouk, right, and he says, I used to play.
I wanted to say that, but
I knew right away who it was. And by the way, what a fantastic footballer. Great striker.
One for 90s football fans everywhere. Ross is on the other line. Hi, Ross. Were you ever a professional footballer or no?
I've got the same name, but that's the best I can go to. So.
Same surname?
Same surname,
seriously?
Yeah.
strange afternoon. Anyway, what are you thinking as a Celtic fan after that?
Honestly, just I can't believe we're sitting here and we're actually right in the mix of this title race again. A few weeks ago, I had it written off and I thought it was either going to Tynecastle or Ibrox. I didn't think we were anywhere near it. And how Martin O'Neill has managed to bring us back into this, I'm still in shock, but I think watching the game last night, I don't think Wednesday will be any man of the means easy for Celtic, and that's the one I'm concerned about on Wednesday. That's the bit I'm still not sure.
This is not to demean it in any way, Scott Allen, but just more thinking about what the style is, because everybody knows the backstory now. It came from Wilfred Nancy to Martin O'Neill. Well, Martin O'Neill first, but you know what I mean? The almost like the simplicity, the basics, whether it's the man management, the making the crucial little tweak here and there, not worrying about over elaborate stuff. Is that what we're really seeing the strength of Martin O'Neill?
Yeah, I think he simplified the game for his team. Nancy came in, he obviously had his favourite formation. The questions were asked how that was going to look within this Celtic team. You obviously seen the aftermath of that, you know, resulting in Nancy getting the sack. And then Martin O'Neill, I think then when you came in, it's just about simplifying the game, getting wingers wide and putting balls in the box. And that's what he'd done very early on in his tenure. Then there started to be questions when they couldn't quite find that little bit of cutting edge in the final third, and it's still been there. That's the reason why everybody's been talking about that striker position. At the same time as that, Callum McGregor, Daizen Maeda, Kieran Tierney, at times they weren't in the best of form. But what a team who, especially guys like Callum McGregor, who have won titles year in, year out, they start to find that rhythm, they start to find a way to win games. And ultimately, sometimes football doesn't have to be overcomplicated, it's just about making the opposition teams defend, and Celtic have definitely done that, and at the same time they've been a bit better defensively. There's no getting away from that. So I think today, looking at it, Maeda, yes, individually will be spoken about alongside Engels, I thought was excellent in the middle of the park, but Maeda for the goals. But I just felt collectively Celtic looked a much stronger team than they had done in recent weeks.
Joe, I'm thinking about Dougie Arnott said about emotion. And the supporters were extremely emotional today. Television showed one lady crying when Daizen Maeda made it 3-1. Celtic have to deal with emotion as well as the game itself when they go to Fir Park, because they're 90 minutes away from a title decider. The crowd are now in a highly emotive state. The players have somehow got to rise above all of that and play their game, because I accept that Mullow weren't great in the second half last night, but I thought their football first half was outstanding.
See, what I think's missing a little bit, and rightly so, Martin O'Neill's getting all the credit in the world. I think the players deserve a lot of credit. This is a bunch of players that was getting slaughtered left, right and centre, and Hugh quite rightly says it, and probably I thought at one point as well, absolutely no chance this team can win the league. As much as Martin O'Neill, he's still got to depend on them when they go out on the pitch. And the character they've showed, I totally agree with Scott. I thought today they were very good. In the last couple of weeks, I think there's a sort of a sharper look about them, a hunger, a desire. As much as everybody talks, and rightly so, and this manager is brilliant, he's got to depend on those players with big characters, big hearts, to go out and win these big games.
It's part of his job, though. I think what he's done is he's came in there, the players were on the floor. As you say, they're getting slaughtered, they're getting a hard time of it, they're not getting results, under a huge amount of pressure. He puts belief into these players. He starts getting them to believe they're good players again and a good team. He brings that togetherness, and that's where they've got. That's why they are where they are. They've got these players again. McGregor, Tierney's been outstanding since Martin Neal's came in. You can see the progression in his game. He's a real leader on the pitch. He's a guy that you can rely on. So I just think he's brought a real belief back to the players. They look as if they're enjoying their football again under this huge pressure that they're under. But they also know there's a title at the end of it.
The biggest turnaround of all, Ross, is the 0% chance to 75% chance that Hugh Keevans is now giving Celtic. How confident do you feel this does end in title success?
90%. Oh, wow. I think there's a 10% doubt regarding going to Fir Park on Wednesday. I think if we get by Wednesday, we win. I'm fairly confident going there at a Hearts game that we get the job done, but right now I'm 90% that we would win the league. But listen, this season has thrown up so many spanners, so listen, I'm not surprised if there's another twist to come here, but honestly, I just don't know if my heart rate can take it.
It's funny because I'm personally not quite sure how to feel on this theory throughout the season, where people always say Celtic have proven winners, that's what will get them over the line. And I just always wondered because, well, yeah, but they're not proving it coming from third place. Do you know what I mean? They're not proving that having survived. What they're proving at is hitting the front early and staying there. So I wondered if it was a different challenge. However, to then go back on that ever so slightly, maybe this is the time when you can smell it, that they really are going to be able to.
As I say, I give you so many examples of compare and contrast. Rangers at Celtic Park, 3-1 for Rangers. The crowd outside baying for blood, the manager sacked. Celtic at Motherwell before that, the crowd turning on the manager, Motherwell comprehensively outplaying Celtic. Celtic have been in the depths of despair this season for one reason or another, and are now on the verge of, in Celtic's history, what I would argue would be possibly the greatest ever title win.
There's different ways of looking at it, isn't there? I mean, you go and win one and don't lose a game and are outstanding and dazzle from start to finish. It would certainly feel one of the most satisfying, you would imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Again, the roller coaster that Celtic fans have been through, if they can do it, the roller coaster that they've been through, or everything Hugh's mentioned a lot, the disruption from the fans to the board and people getting wanting them to get sacked, the change of management, every disruption that could have happened has possibly happened this season for Celtic. So if they can get the job done, I think a lot of fans will look back over the season and think this is one of the greatest achievements. Again, I put towards it, I don't think it's a strong squad either, but Martin O'Neill's getting a real tune out of them at this moment in time.
Because I've always, Gordon, again, found it probably inappropriate to blame the injuries, because you're Celtic. Look at your budget compared to the rest of the league, you know, Rangers aside. But it's another factor, at least, to add to what Cammy's said. So again, it's finding that right amount, you know, add the injuries to the boardroom disruption, the fan disruption, the managerial change, the fact that other players are out of form. I don't think you can, if Celtic don't win this league, I don't think you can say, oh, it's all down to the injuries. But I suppose it's worth considering they've had to deal with that as well.
Yeah, you just see the sort of reaction when Alistair Johnson, for instance, big time player for them, missed a lot of football this season. He comes back. See, the minute you see the opposition see the name in the team sheet, all of a sudden it gives you, even the Celtic in the dressing room gives a lift. You know, they have missed big players, but you're right, Gordon, they've got a massive squad. Where I think that Celtic would take all the plaudits, simple. I think even Celtic fans, for the first time in a long time, would have probably written off Celtic's chance of winning this league. And they've come back, and right now, for me, it's firmly in their own hands to go and do it.
Thank you to Ross Thomas on the other side of the emotional scale, though. Thomas, as a Rangers fan, what are you thinking now?
Hi, Gordon. Well, what I think is today was the final nail in Danny Rowe's coffin, because when I look at the Rangers team, and I know at the outset, I know I will hear the old record that he brought Rangers back from the brink kind of thing. But again, this is a surreal season where you have Celtic losing 8 games and still in with a chance to the league. You know, it was a topsy-turvy season, and yep, okay, he brought us back, but that in itself is not enough. He's not established the team going forward. He's got no formation. First of all, there's no leaders in the team. He doesn't have a leader. And I include the manager in that. He doesn't lead from the front. I watched his interview today after the game. The first thing that annoyed me about it was no apology to the fans, no acknowledgement of the fans whatsoever. There was no apparent anger. It was cliche after cliche, basically. His team itself has got no formation. His defence is absolutely woeful. Now, I would love Roger Hanna to be in the show, because I would like him to say, because of his knowledge, when was the last time Rangers lost 3 goals in 3 consecutive league games? I don't mean lost 3 games. I know that was in Dick Advocaat's era. But lost 3 goals in 3 consecutive games. No leaders, no formation. Defence, which we can't play along the back line because it's suicidal. We don't have the defenders to do it. We don't have Goff and Butcher anymore. But we persist in playing in our own half. The player who gets most touches in that Rangers team is Jack Butland. Constantly pass back to him, even right from the kickoff, and that's the way it continues thereafter. And that's where I think the problem is. He has got no formation and he panics. Contrary to that, you look at Martin O'Neill at half time. I think Celtic will win the league, and I've said that for quite some time, and it's all down to the Martin O'Neill factor. Martin O'Neill shows leadership qualities, how to lead, how to manage his players, how to get the best out of them. And I'm not saying that we're looking for a manager like Martin O'Neill, but you're looking for that type of manager that can get the best out of a bad squad of players.
What do you think on that, Scott Allen? Because the two up front was supposed to be the magic formula for Rangers, and then, yeah, I know that Nadiri's had his injuries. And then, you know, it feels like it has worked sometimes, hasn't worked others. Is Danny Rule a bit in between?
He is in between, and the players are in between. Looking at the terms of consistency, it never makes for a good watch. That's the truth of the matter. I think Danny Rowe we can touch on today about formation playing along the back. I do think Fernandes and Giga can play along the back. My problem is the guys in front of them, and between the four at the back and the two in the middle of the park, there's nothing of real structure and anything in patterns that you can see Rangers doing week in, week out. So that then leads to guys taking the ball and then not having an option, and then Celtic can go and press. But you look at the last two Celtic games before today, one at Ibrox, 2-0 up in the game, second half, Martin Neal brings on Hatate, drops him down, he starts controlling the game. Danny Rowe didn't have the answers that day. Rangers offered nothing in that second half. You then look at the League Cup game, where they're then going out in penalties. Celtic had 8 first team players missing that day, and hardly lay a glove on them out with the disallowed goal. So the big games and what he's been asked to come up with something, whether that's between him or the player, but you've got to take it as a collective. It's just been nowhere near good enough, innit? I think it'll be very hard for any Rangers fan to accept finishing this season with the investment, trophyless, and for me, trophyless and not coming away in big games with good performances. It's not good. They're finishing third in the league behind Hearts and Celtic. It'll be very hard for them to accept.
Quite a profound note to end on. We'll let you go and head off into the sunshine. Thank you, Scott Allen. He's about to get locked in or chucked out at Celtic Park. I don't know which, so we'll let him go. And we'll thank Thomas as well. Plenty of time, though, for you to get your calls in. So let's do it. 01419511025. We've actually not done too much on those big calls, the big refereeing decisions that were involved today. So if you want to get your opinions in, you've got loads of time to do it. So please do, and we'll hear from the managers as well when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell, Hugh Keevans, Gordon DL, all still here to take your calls. Loads of time left. We always do the long phone in after the game on a day like this, and it has proven to be worthwhile so far because we've had a lot of interesting stuff. Maybe there's something in the fact that the big picture is taking over here, because quite often all we get wall-to-wall calls about refereeing decisions in a game like that. But genuinely, I've not seen many flash up on my screen. So the time to change that, if you're that way inclined, 01419511025. Let's do that, and we'll hopefully hear from the managers very soon. In fact, we could do that to set the tone. Let's go for the victorious manager first, Martin O'Neill. Just general thoughts on the game.
Today, I thought there was some fabulous stuff being played. The crowd, of course, played a big part. I thought they were really terrific. Carried us along at a time when Rangers were in the ascendancy. But, the criticism, I'm not worried. It'd be nice to start a season, you know, get your own thoughts together, your own plans, all that type of stuff, and lay out plans for the whole season. Wasn't to be, but we've been playing catch up. That's the thing, and we're still playing catch up. So I don't know. Maybe they might extend the season for us to catch up. You know.
And these are the thoughts generally of Danny Rule.
Yeah, I'm honest. It's a tough one. Yeah, you come with a lot of confidence until the point, and then very ambitions. You are prepared for the split, and then you go to the first game, you go to the second and the third, and finally you lost all the three, and that's then not enough for what we want and where we want to go.
Andrew is a Rangers fan. What have you got for us, Andrew? What made you call?
I was just phoning. It's just been for the past, maybe since the split, it's been refereeing decisions. I'm a Rangers fan, but even for the Hibs game against Celtic, a handball, it shouldn't have been a goal. And then the penalty, yes, it was a Stonewall penalty. And then the day, Celtic should have had a man sent off the first half. And then even the second half, he booked Kieran Tierney, and it should have been Alistair Johnson that would have had a second yellow. The decisions are shocking.
It's a nice tone from Andrew, because to be fair, on Old Firm Day, he's calling up to say Celtic were hard done by last week. So it's an interesting start. Just kind of for time, let's walk through today's, if you like. Andrew's mentioning he thinks Alistair Johnson should have been sent off. Take it away.
Correct.
Definitely off for you.
Yeah.
Excessive force.
Yes.
I think it's one in between for me. Mm. I think because I mentioned it before, he touches the ball, there's a bit of force there, so it could have been a red card, yes.
Yeah, a sort of a dark yellow to a light what I read. Sitting in the fence with that one, I thought he was lucky to get away. Put it this way, if he'd get a red card for it, I wouldn't be sitting here complaining.
Yeah, this is what always muddies it. It's everyone's frustration in the VAR era, and unfortunately, this is not limited to us. Does it change your thought? Because the on-field decision is yellow.
Yeah.
So if the on-field decision was red, it's not getting overturned, is it?
No.
Like,
no.
You're never watching that back and saying that's not a red to overturn it. Is it, whatever you said, a dark yellow enough that the on-field decision
Nick
stands
Walsh would
then?
Obviously
had, we've not heard the comms yet.
No, Nick Walsh would have had the conversation of what he's seen and the force that he's seen with, obviously, the VAR officials. And again, they must have confirmed that what he's explained that he's seen is the exact same. And that's why they've not interfered and taken him to the screen. So I think the touching the ball does make a difference with regards to...
To the force?
Yes, to the force. Right. Not anything in the decision, but I think it slows the force of the tackle up a little bit.
The other one Andrew mentions, I did think of this at the time, but you have to assume, just because we've not heard, like, I don't think Nick Walsh gets the wrong man or anything. I assume he thinks that Romans is the instigator of that tussle, so he books him, doesn't book Johnson, and he books Tierney for whatever Tierney came over and said to him, I guess. I mean, that until somebody can contradict that, you know, because Andrew's saying it shouldn't have been Tierney.
Yeah, I can remember the incident, and Johnson, I don't know if it was Tierney that went over and the scuffle started to happen after the incident. I think, certainly from what I've seen, Alistair Johnston, he was shielding the ball out. It went out for a goal kick, and then there was a little bit of afters between Romans and a number of players. Whether Alistair Johnston did anything to deserve a second yellow card, I've not seen that yet. But I think, for me, that the yellow card came to Tierney because... I don't know if he was one of the first ones over to then be in that scuffle.
Would have been a big moment in the game, Andrew, the Alistair Johnson one. Is that the thing that sort of stings the most out of them all?
It just looked like, in a way, that referee was just looking for another player to book because he knew he was going to get a second booking to Johnson. It'd have been half. The decisions are just like, it's mind-boggling a bit, I think, man. Even like yesterday with the Hearts game, the decisions are a wee bit shocking with the refereeing. And that's how many of them are going to the World Cup.
Well, that's a kind of sweeping generalisation in there, but, you know...
I think there's more of a kind of boring answer to that. And funnily enough, Nick Walsh, he's our only... I don't know the terminology. He's the only one on FIFA's elite category or something of our refs. And he only got added to that in December. So we were never in a position to get one of the refs to the World Cup.
I thought Hearts should have had a penalty. But the referee's gone, had to look at it again. And how many times have we condemned referees when they go and they think, oh, I must have got that wrong, and they overturn their own decision? Well, Stephen McLean wasn't of a mind to overturn his own decision. So this is VAR. You have to go on.
I think this is where it is quite beneficial, Gordon, to hear the communications. I can't remember when the date is, but there'll be another VAR roundup before the end, because I know fans do just care more about is it right, is it wrong, in their opinion, but you find out just a bit more. So last night is an example. If Stephen McLean's initial thought is, I've seen the contact on the foot there and I don't think it's enough, and then VAR says, well, you know, you think we've made a clear and obvious error, come to the monitor, and he comes and says, that's what I saw in the first place. I saw the contact. I don't think it's enough. Now, we can all argue about it. I think you all think that was a penalty last night.
I thought it was a penalty, yeah.
But, yeah, it gives you a bit more of a kind of, well, kind of fair enough, since the dawn of time, refs have been asked to kind of make
how many times have we said in this programme since VAR came in, I wish the referee would go over there and stand by his decision and him referee the game rather than VAR referee the game.
You can't have it both ways, though, because ultimately you try to get it right.
Yeah,
at the
exactly.
Same time.
Listen, and Steve McLean went over there, he had a look at it and thought, no, I'm happy with my decision. That's good. That's fine. Listen, I don't agree with it. I think it's a penalty kick, right? But I'm delighted that a referee's went over and been strong enough to say, no, I've seen that in real time. I'm not far away from it. I think that's the right decision and move on from there. And let's not blame referees and I know the caller's talking about referees' fault. I think there's bigger pictures if you're a Rangers fan than referees'
fault. Well, to be fair, I think you can tell that, because we're that hour and a half of fans moaning about the game itself. So I don't think it's all about that, to be fair to any fans. Similarly, the Alistair Johnson one, Cammy, it's important to understand if, like, what has gone on there or what the process is. So maybe Nick Walsh says, yeah, he's caught him high, I don't think there's enough force.
Yep.
Then it's up to the VAR to say, or to contradict that.
Yep.
And I mean, that's that subjective bit of what you think is excessive force. Gordon might not.
Yeah.
And yeah. Hugh might agree with one of you, and I might disagree.
And all referees will probably have a slightly different view on excessive force. And again, they'll be similar, very similar, because they're obviously trained that way to make them decisions of what is excessive force. But again, if the communications are key, and I think what you're saying is right, and listen, we're all going to, nobody's always going to agree with decisions, but if the communications are clear, and Nick Walsh has made it clear what he's seen, and VAR are quite happy with that's what we've seen as well. We don't see over excessive force in that challenge, whether the, as I mentioned, the touching the ball slows up that force or not, that's mentioned. It'll be interesting to see, because I think again it is probably a subjective one that you look at. I think it's borderline. If that was sent off, you probably wouldn't argue it. But even if it is, because it's not sent off, would you pull him over to the screen? I don't think so either. But
for the avoidance of doubt, you all think Alistair Johnson either could or should have been sent
could
off.
Have,
is
yeah.
that?
Could have.
Could have.
Yeah, and you're, I'm on that.
Okay. There's also an inevitability about this, Hugh, because even once you've taken it so far, I actually thought at the start of the split, there's an Edinburgh Derby. One of the big, people were calling it the biggest Edinburgh Derby league meeting yeah. ever. Hibs got out of nine men, but nobody actually argued with the decisions because everybody felt they were fine. There was a huge result when Motherwell went to Rangers and won. We had even the game the other night. Who would have thought Rangers against Hearts, at Hearts against Rangers would pass with no disciplinary issue? It was inevitable that at some point between, it's almost a law of averages thing, we were going to get something debatable.
Yeah, but we're not unique. You know, that VAR has created this situation in all countries. Some countries have voted to do without it. We have it, and I don't believe that we'll be without it in the foreseeable future. But we have an astonishing league coming to an astonishing climax. And I'm reluctant to overemphasise VAR decisions. You know, Celtic complained to Willie Collum after Easter Road about the Joe Newell handball that resulted in a goal. But at the end of the day, Celtic dusted themselves down and got on with it and won the match. I can only think of the coming week, the games at Fir Park and at Tynecastle on Wednesday, and the possibility of the greatest ever finish to a league season where you have Celtic playing Hearts in Glasgow for the league title. It's astonishing.
Thank you very much to Andrew for bringing it up today. 0141 951 1025. When we return, there is an answer from Danny Rule on his future. What do you make of it? We'll play it to you and you can react when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of today's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but the fallout from this afternoon's game is going to continue on, you would suspect, and not for too long, because there's Wednesday going to come and interrupt things as well. We were talking a bit about the refereeing decisions prior to the break. If you want to keep doing that, please do. There must be something in the air, Hugh, because genuinely, most people are phoning in. I can see all the hundreds of calls coming in. Just about the big picture. You never usually get that after an Old Firm game. People want to argue about the refs, the injustice. It's maybe quite telling about where we are collectively, whether it's title chasing, whether it's managerial doubts.
This is Celtic back to 1979, when Celtic had to beat Rangers at Celtic Park to win the league. And the Celtic fans of my age and slightly younger will know that it is now referred to only as the 4-2 game. There is a potential decider to win the league. Celtic versus Hearts next Saturday at Celtic Park. Celtic have to go over a considerable hurdle called Motherwell on Wednesday night. But this, for me, probably the most dramatic, potentially the most dramatic end to our league season since 1979.
Let's hear from Danny Rule. Of course, he was asked about his future and where this all reflects on him. This was his answer.
Our general, I think, in football, especially in places where you want to be the best and want to win titles, then no defeat helps. Yeah, of course. It goes quick in football. This is sometimes also part of the story. I had, until now, a lot of great moments with the club, and I'm convinced that I will have more of these great moments in the future.
And that's what it all comes down to. Because many Rangers fans listening will say, good on you, Danny. And loads of others will say, you've not had that many great moments. What are they? List them. How many can we do?
Only one man's important now, Andrew Kavanagh. And I think he's the type of man who might speak to the Rangers fans in the days ahead, because they're looking for someone to speak to them. And he is the owner of the club, effectively. How Andrew Kavanagh regards Danny Rowe is the most important part of the conversation now.
I would go as far as to say, no, for a fact, or whatever the phrase would be, that Andrew Kavanagh really, really, really likes Danny Rowe. Now, I know to some people that will sound obvious that he hired him, but I mean, genuinely, there was a proper strong belief there that he's the guy. So it now just depends if that belief has been...
Well, they don't want to make another confession.
Because things do change in football.
Well, they brought in Russell Martin, right? They don't want to now put their hands up and say after just one season, oh, we've made two bad mistakes. That's bad leadership. No matter how much money you're putting in, that's bad leadership. So I've got a funny feeling that they'll get to the end of the season and I think they'll go with him for another year. Now, whether that's right or wrong, time will
can't guarantee it's a year though, can
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Start off the season with them. I think they'll back them. I think they'll give them every opportunity. As you said, Gordon, if there are things behind the scenes that these guys do believe in them, then they'll look at the longer term. That's what these guys do. But if they do get into the summer with them and they back him again because he had a transfer window there, it was strong and it's not worked for him, then we're in the same scenario as Russell Martin about a job within months.
Here's one. See the next two games.
Yep.
They are meaningless for Rangers up to a point because nothing's ever truly meaningless.
No.
Is it now stacked against Danny Rowe slightly to the point where if he wins the next two, I don't think there's any celebration amongst the Rangers fans.
Not
I don't think they care. However, can his position still get worse by... how could Rangers possibly lose all five post-split games? But you know what I mean? If he was to lose again...
Yes.
Although it's a meaningless game, do you think that could still contribute to the decision?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But winning the games couldn't, in a positive sense.
Listen, I still think winning the games... he's got to win the games. There's no way Rangers can lose their next two games. No way. That's unacceptable.
Is the season that crazy that we see the same scenes at Falkirk? Rather Russell Martin.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh.
The season is that crazy.
I think the Rangers fans will only go to Ibrox on Wednesday for the game against Hibs in the hope that Celtic lose at Motherwell.
That's a great point. What's the atmosphere going to be like at Ibrox on Wednesday?
I think the only reason that people will go is to the fact that they hope to be there when they hear that Motherwell have beaten Celtic.
Listen, Danny Rowe can't
win the league.
He just said there he's had some great moments. Rangers fans measure it in different ways. Some Rangers fans look at great moments as in you need to win a trophy. That's a great moment as a Rangers manager, not getting results same here, there and everywhere and finishing third. So I think when he says that, he needs to be wary of what Rangers fans expect, because they expect trophies at the end of the day. That's what they're built on.
Because I think there's a couple of reasons for it. I think the cups were over quite a while ago now, unfortunately for him. Partly scheduling, partly going out a bit earlier than he would have liked. The title race has been so encapsulating that we've not been able to avoid it. Everything's about the title race. And of course the league's the most important. We've seen in the past you can win cup. St Mirren won a cup and might go down.
Yeah.
St Johnstone won a cup double and a couple of years later they're down. But there's still that thing, isn't there? If he had taken care of one or both of those and you get to the end of the season and say, yes, the league's the priority, and yes, it was a disappointment, but there's a sign. There's
his
two
other,
cups.
His other problem is that he lost both cup competitions to Celtic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. He was still in the situation where three things were still at his disposal, right? The cups, as Hugh said, he lost them to Celtic. He was top of the league only for one night, but he was still into the split. A lot of Rangers fans thought they were favourites to go and win the title. So he's been in every single one here. He's had three opportunities and he's come out without a trophy.
Yeah. Jim will bring the curtain down in just a second. He won't mind playing second fiddle to Martin O'Neill, because I'm sure Jim's happy to hear from him. Let's hear about his thoughts on the freedom and calmness Celtic played with.
The performances, I think Celtic can actually, when you play with a bit of freedom, but how often do you get freedom? You know, you have to win football matches here. You have to dig it out. And people were talking about the four goals that we scored in extra time against St Mirren. It's been part of the Celtic thing. We've had to work for that. We've really had to work for it. This is the whole point. And today, I thought there was some fabulous stuff being played. The crowd, of course, played a big part. I thought they were really terrific. Carried us along at a time when Rangers were in the ascendancy. But the criticism, I'm not worried. It'd be nice to start a season, you know, get your own thoughts together, your own plans, all that type of stuff, and lay out plans for the whole season. Wasn't to be, but we've been playing catch up.
Right, Jim, what are you thinking then? How confident are you can get this over the line after today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, thank you. Are you well?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, you've just been tipped over the edge. What made you call then?
Yeah, I just want to throw a curveball into this thing. Everybody's talking about the game next week. Mm-hmm. And if possibly Millwall could stop Celtic. What about Falkirk? They've got a big say in what's going to happen in this league title. They could turn around and turn over Hearts. What do you think?
Well, you would have to agree, Jim, that at Tynecastle, a Falkirk side who have defensively lost their way, lost 6 to Rangers, lost 3 yesterday to Hibs. If Falkirk get anything at Tynecastle, then it is absolute proof that Hearts have blown it, I think. I would think it's impossible for Falkirk to win at Tynecastle.
Impossible?
No.
They knocked him out of the cup there earlier this season.
Yeah. But, you know, Hearts really will be looking at the collapse of all time if they drop anything to Falkirk.
To be fair, though, it's not like the team bottom of the league. Falkirk are good. Falkirk are very good. But Hugh puts up a fair point. I'm not like
everybody talks
by
about
his
how great a team Motherwell are, and Falkirk have got to beat them every time they play them. Look, because of the way the season is, I'm with you. I fancy Hearts very strongly at home. But if Falkirk go there, it's not going to be an easy game, because Falkirk are a real good side. John takes pride on his performances. He'd have been disappointed with the Hibs result. It'll be a difficult game. They've been there before, as you quietly said, winning penalty kicks. Nothing's taken for granted.
There was a 3-0 win for Hearts at Tynecastle earlier this season. There was a 1-0 in the league. The cup game went the way of Falkirk. So to sum up though, Jim, because we're about to head off, you're not getting carried away yet. You still think there's a lot of work to be done?
Oh, there's a lot of work to be done. There could be a few curveballs in it, yeah.
Must be happy with today, though, and how close you've...
Oh, I'm delighted, absolutely
delighted. Yourself.
I always said they were going to score 3 goals. I spoke to a friend of mine, and I said to him yesterday, I says, don't worry, I says, we're going to score 3 goals. And I got it right.
You did? Well, it was a good time for Dyson Maeda to rediscover his form. Gordon, before we go, just try, if you can, in this season of all seasons, sum up what you saw today and where this leaves us.
What I seen today was the fact that, as we said this morning, Gordon, Hearts opened the door last night and Celtic have walked right through it. I thought second half Celtic were excellent. Martin O'Neill delighted. It's all to play for. Wednesday and next Saturday is going to be blockbuster. And I still think there's twists and turns in this crazy season.
Yeah, blockbuster is the word. I think next weekend, hopefully, is going to be blockbuster finish. Today was brilliant. It was a great, great game to watch. Celtic were excellent in the second half. And yes, it's all to play for.
There have been final days when the league has been won as a result of something that happened in another ground. But I can never recall a final day like the one that we have coming up. As I say, Monday night, 1979... Celtic beat Rangers in the final game of the season at Celtic Park and won the league as a consequence. For me, 47 years ago, this is the biggest finish potentially for those 47 years. If we get Celtic Hearts, next Saturday, it will be iconic.
Always a big day when Celtic and Rangers meet. This one went the way of Celtic with a 3-1 win, and this is what it does for the top of the table. Hearts stay in pole position on 77 points. Celtic are just one behind on 76. Today means Rangers are destined to finish third. It cannot get any better for Danny Rule's side. On to Wednesday then. Celtic at Fir Park, Hearts at home to Falkirk. It could change again. And then that final day showdown when they meet each other. We cannot wait. Super Scoreboard back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy what's left of your weekend.